Amen. Praise the Lord. This old house that I'm living in, it is needing repair. 'Cause the windows and the shutters are letting in the cold, cold air. And I say to myself, I'm gonna fix them when I can get the time. But all I've been getting lately is leave my mind. I've got is leaving on my mind, and it seems that's all I'm thinking about most of the time. 'Cause soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles all far behind. 'Cause lately I've got leaving, I got leaving on my mind. So I guess I should be looking for some better place that I can live. But I can't seem to get excited about this old world and what it can give. Oh, I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with a solitary dime. 'Cause what good would this old world do me with leaving on my mind? Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind, and it seems that's all I'm thinking most of the time. For soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles all far behind. For lately I've got leaving, I've got leaving on my mind. Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind, and it seems that's all I'm thinking about most of the time. But soon and very soon I'll leave all my troubles far behind. 'Cause lately I've got leaving, I've got leaving on my mind. 'Cause lately I've got leaving, I've got leaving on my mind. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good? Let's give him a hand clap for praise. Hallelujah. Porque tú eres digno, Señor. Aleluya, aleluya. Aleluya, aleluya, aleluya. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. The book of Acts records an incident where the citizens of Ephesus were angry because Paul had exposed their idol as being nothing more than a piece of silver shaped by a man. And the Bible says they stood for hours and they cried out, "Great is the goddess of Diana." But they cried out in anger. Amen. I don't want to worship God because I'm angry. I want to worship God because I love Him. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to cry out because somebody made me mad about Jesus. But I want to cry out because I love Him. Amen. And I have every reason to love the Lord today because He's been nothing but good to me. Amen. And He's been good to you. Hallelujah. Amen. We turn today in the book of Hebrews to the 11th chapter, verse number 31. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. And the scripture said, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not for them that believed, when she had received the spies with peace." And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, prophets. I want to preach today on this very subject, unlikely heroes. Unlikely heroes. You may be seated. There are some people that just seem destined for greatness. You may recall, and I don't know if they do this anymore, but back in the dark ages when I went to school, they used to do this thing and they would vote people in class different offices. Somebody would get the title most likely to succeed. Now when you look at a 7th or an 8th grader and make a judgment like that, you're sticking your neck way out. But there are certain characteristics in individuals that we see and admire and think that person is destined to be great. Now, the 11th chapter of Hebrews is what we call the Hero's Hall of Fame. Those who are listed, their names and their deeds are listed here in the book of Hebrews, that we admire them. And many of us have drawn strength and encouragement day after day by their great feats and their heroism. And we have looked at their faith, and our own faith has been strengthened. As we walk down that hallowed hall and we see their portrait hanging there, and we understand men like Abel. There is his portrait, and we stand before the portrait of Abel, and we remember here is a man that knew how, just almost instinctively, he carried on because of something in his heart, and he knew how to worship God. He knew what pleased God. He knew what God wanted, and he gave God what he wanted. He didn't experiment with his worship. He didn't want to try out some new way to worship God.
He didn't want to find some kind of a shortcut. But he knew what had pleased God in the past. And he believed this is what's going to please God now. Every time I bring this sacrifice, God honors it. So it's the sacrifice that I will continue to bring. And because of his faithfulness, and because of his sacrifice, he became the first martyr in the Bible. I understand why Abel's there. And then hanging next to him, I see the portrait of Enoch. And my, what a patriarch he was. I don't know what he did with the early years of his life. But I do know that when he got to the age of 65, something transpired in Enoch's life that changed and marked him. Because it says at that time, Enoch began to walk with God. Somebody said, I'm kind of getting old to change now. No, you're not. Enoch didn't. He waited maybe for a long time. It may have taken him a while to get it together. But I'm telling you, once he started on the journey, he didn't turn to the right and he didn't turn to the left. But he walked with God faithfully day by day. And he was so faithful to walk with God. The Bible says that he pleased the Lord. That was his goal in life, was to please God. One day he was walking with the Lord and God said, he said, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are to yours. Come on home with me. And the Bible said Enoch was translated. He just took the foot up of the earth and the next step it was in heaven. Amen. God translated him and took him to the celestial realm. Oh, I see his portrait there. I understand why he's hanging there. I understand Enoch. Amen. I'd like to be like Enoch. One of these days we will, you know. Hallelujah. One of these days we're going to lift the foot off of terra firma and we're going to plant it on a golden street. Hallelujah. Because in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Amen. I understand why Noah's there. Noah was a man he was a man of obedience. Oh, it was odd. God asked him something really strange. He said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Well, that's great, God. What's an ark? And God gave him the plan. And Moses got busy building. And it didn't matter if anybody else had done it before. No matter that it was a long, drawn-out process. No matter that it was a lot of work. No matter that it was unpopular. No matter that people scoffed and mocked and laughed at him. Amen. He just kept right on the building and he kept right on preaching. He said, God said one of these days a flood's going to come. God said the heavens are going to open up and rain's going to fall, even though perhaps rain had never fallen. He just kept right on preaching. He had faith. He had seen it with an eye of faith. He had never beheld it with his physical eye. But he was open. No wonder his picture's there. Man that would walk against the tide. Amen. A man that would stand and boldly proclaim the word of God when it was unpopular. I understand why his picture's there. I understand why Abraham, oh, faithful Abraham. When God said, leave everything, your family, your inheritance, your livelihood, everything you know, everything that's familiar, and just go to a place I'm going to show you. Ah, you talk about faith. When he said goodbye to it all. And he just, well, where are we going? I don't know. We're going to follow this voice that's been talking to me. Huh? Yeah, today they would have taken him to a psychologist. Put him in a hospital, locked him up somewhere. Amen. But he said, I'm going to just follow this voice. Uh-huh. Okay. Amen. He was a man of faith. Followed God. Amen. He was called the father of the faith. He was called the friend of God. Amen. And he followed faithfully. Whatever God asked him to do, he did it. Even to getting ready to sacrifice his only son to the Lord, the promised son. And he was ready to do even that far. So God stayed his hand. understanding, God, I'm going to do this. I don't know why in the world you would ask me to do something. This is not even right. But if you ask me, I'll do it, God. Amen. Because I know this much, that if it happens and I have to kill my son, you're going to restore him again, because this is a promise you gave me. Amen. No wonder his picture's there. I understand. Why Abraham is hanging in the hall of faith. I understand why Isaac's there. He walked in his father's footsteps. He was a faithful man. He was a good man. He was a gentle man. He was a great man. I understand why Jacob is there. The man that wrestled with an angel and won. You know how you whip an angel? Because he wants you to. You know how you win wrestling God? Because he wants you to. Amen. He wrestled all night until he got exactly what God wanted. And when he got to the place, and God got him to the place that his will and God's will had mended together, God said, that's good enough. Changed his name from Jacob to Israel. As a prince, thou hast power with God. Fathered the 12 tribes of Israel. Oh, I understand why his portrait's there. Then hanging beside Jacob, of course, there's Joseph, the perfect type almost of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. The dreamer that held on to his dream, the dream that got him in trouble, and the dream that delivered him. Praise God. Amen. And the man of patience that went from prison to a palace in a matter of just a few hours of time, because it was God's promise. Man that was faithful through suffering until the ultimate triumph. I understand why his picture's there. I understand that. I understand why Moses is there. The Bible talks about Moses being the meekest man. Can you imagine listening to 1.5 million or more people complain every single day and maintain your sanity? God bless Moses. I mean, that's all he heard. Complaining. 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 Amen. And every day, all day long, problems, problems, problems. And he maintained his sanity. And he even kept walking with God. And he even loved the people. To the point God got fed up with it. And he said, Moses, step aside. I'm going to wipe out this whole bunch. Moses said, God, if you do that, you might as well just take my name out too. God said, for your sake, bud, I'm going to spare this whole bunch. I understand why Moses is there. I understand that. I understand why Joshua was there. I mean, the successor of Moses that led Israel into the land of conquest and great victory after victory and battle after battle. A man of faith that fought and wrought righteousness. A man that could just literally point to the sun and say, Son, you stand still. I'm not through here yet. Moses and God looked at the angels, and the angels said, what are we going to do, Lord? He said, put the brakes on. And the sun stood right there. Till Joshua got through. I understand why his name's there. That takes a lot of faith. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. It takes a lot of faith. I understand. But there are some unlikely heroes. Well, I introduce you to one. Even her introduction, how odd. After thousands of years, when her story is told, her occupation is still listed first. How odd. It says, by faith, the harlot. Be careful what you do. You can get branded. You can get branded. And you may get over it, but people don't. You may go on, but people don't go on. You may want to forget, but people don't forget. Now, God forgets, and God forgives, but people don't always forgive. How interesting that after all of these generations of time, that's still there, that blot, that blemish. But you know what? It didn't stop God. Some of you say, boy, if you just knew, Pastor, how bad I messed up. It won't stop God. If you just knew how badly I've fallen, it won't stop God. If you just knew about the things I've done, thank God I don't, but it won't stop God. God values righteousness so much that one act of righteousness undid an entire lifetime of sin. Aye. And God took this woman that had lived an entire life in horrible situations and circumstances. Experiences that we wouldn't even begin to talk about here today. But God looked at all that. And when He sent two spies to her house, and she hid them away and confessed her faith in God. I mean, let me show you this. How great faith this woman had in the Lord. Look in the book of Joshua in the 2nd chapter. Amen. Joshua chapter 2. And going down to verse number 9. Listen to what she tells these men. No wonder she sided with them. I mean, she had a problem, all right. She had a very checkered, bad past. But listen to her faith. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. And we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You see where faith is? She said, I don't know a whole lot about your God, but I like Him. Amen. And He's going to whoop up on this whole bunch right here. And I'm going to ask you one thing. She said, I know God's going to conquer this city. Yeah, we got these big walls. I live on it right here. She actually lived on the wall itself. Her house was there. And she said, I live up here, and nobody's ever been able to get in here and tear these walls down and conquer this city. It's been a fortress year after year, century after century. Said, but your God's going to somehow bring it down. And he said, and when it does, I want you to remember me and my brothers and my sisters and my mama and my daddy and all of our stuff, and please just let us live. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, whenever Jericho looked out and saw that bunch of ragtag Israelites, they didn't have any weapons. They didn't have anything to fight with. They didn't have any tanks or bombs, or didn't even have a gun. Amen. And looked at that bunch and they said, oh, they'll never be able to do anything. Oh, we're in this big city. We've got strong walls round about us. But she said, I know God's going to bring it down. When He does, just remember me. Just remember me. And because of her faith in God, amen, her pictures hang on that wall. She's hanging right up there beside Moses, Joshua, and Abraham, and Abel, and Enoch, all those great men. And there's a picture of the harlot, Rahab. Because God accounted it all righteousness when she put her faith in Him. Amen. My, what a faith she had. You know what's really interesting about Rahab? When you read the lineage of Jesus Christ, you know whose name you find there? Jesus said, I'm going to put her right in my own lineage here. And I'm going to send my bloodline right through Rahab. Amen. You see, she's an unlikely hero. You know what that does to me? That gives me faith and hope today. That even when I'm not perfect, God doesn't just look at my faults. He looks also at my righteousness. He looks at the things I do right, not just at the things that I do wrong. And And God puts it all together. And when he puts it on his scale, righteousness always outweighs unrighteousness. And somehow, he always makes it come out in my favor. Hallelujah. He's an unlikely hero. An unlikely hero. And then we read this guy named, his name is Gideon. Remember him? Yeah. You know what I think is really funny? God has this great sense of humor. He really does. He sends an angel to Gideon. You know where Gideon was when the angel came to him? He was hiding down in this wine press so nobody could see him. And the angel comes to this guy that's hiding down in the wine press and he says, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, who, me? Hey, man. Like a little mouse. Hiding down in the cellar. Amen. Down there threshing his grain so nobody can see, and the big tough Midianites won't come take it away from him. And God says, you're a mighty man of valor. Huh? Amen. But God took that little coward and gave him a backbone. Amen. And caused him to rise up in faith. You see, God takes things that are not, makes them to become things that are. God sees things in us, and all he needs to work with is faith. He saw a man that had bad circumstances and his faith was lacking. But he realized, if I can just build Gideon's faith a little bit, this man will do what I need done. And there are people here today, you still have the taste of dirt in your mouth from when you fell last time. You still got some scratches and scars on your elbows and knees. But God is just saying this morning, if I can just get a hold of your faith here this morning, and I can just give you a little boost, you're going to get up one more time. Amen. And you're going to set your face like a flint. And you're going to get your heart fixed. And this time, you're going to make it. And one day, people are going to say, he's an unlikely hero. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. One of these days, it's going to be a different story. You may have won yesterday, devil, but today's another day. And this is another time. And I'm in the presence of the Lord. And my faith is being fed. And I'm getting a fresh vision today. And new strength for the battle. Amen. I may have been a coward yesterday, but I'm going to be a hero today. Amen. So God took Gideon and his doubts and his fears and made him a hero in Israel. You remember that story? How he got this army together finally. Can you believe out of that big old army, he finally scratched together 32,000 men. And God said, that's too many. I can't believe this. This blows my mind. But he said, you tell everybody that's scared to go home. He said to these men, now these are men with egos. And he said, all you scaredy cats, go home. 22,000 of them left. Boy, didn't get much to work with, did it? Bunch of sissies. No wonder you're in trouble. God said, that's too many. Let's go down to the water test. And he said, you get those old salties that keep their eye on the enemy and just reach down and get a handful of water and lick it like a dog. He said, that's who I'm looking for. Those that have to, you know, scrape the scum off and get their knees just right. Get their face down, just so. So you forget those sissies. I'm looking for those single-minded men that got their eye on the prize. Amen. Nothing's going to get in their way. That's who I'm looking for. When it all finishes, only 300 of them. God said, that's all we need. That's all we need. Unlikely hero. I don't think you would have chosen those 300. If you've been selecting men, those are not the ones you would have chosen. But God said, that's what I'm looking for. Men that have their eye on the prize and their mind made up, and they understand what's at stake. That's what I'm going to use. And then he said, here's how we're going to fight. Leave your sword at home. He said, I want you to bring a pitcher. And I want you to put a candle inside of it. And I want you to get you a trumpet in your hand. Amen. We're going to fight a battle here. Amen. He said, when we hear the wind sounding the mulberry bushes, he said, I want you to lift that horn up, and I want you to blow it just as loud as you can blow it. And I want you to take those pitchers and throw them down and let that light explode. And that's exactly what they did. And boy, it struck fear in the heart of the enemy, and they began to run and kill one another. Hallelujah! God wrought a great victory. What an unlikely hero. What an unlikely hero. Just a man that just did what God told him to do. What if God told you today, I want you to go out and I want you to fight this great battle, and I want you to take a trumpet and a pitcher with a candle in it? That'd take a lot of faith. You say, God, if I'm going, I want one of those big tanks, you know, with lots of rounds, and I want a whole column of soldiers to go before me, and I want air support. Amen. And I want you to scorch everything before we get there. Then, but God said, no. All you need is a trumpet and a pitcher with a candle. Now, there's a man of faith. I said, there is a man of faith. And guess what? God got all the glory. And that's what it's all about. And so, he was an unlikely hero. There was Barak, not the one we got today. This is another one way back there. I don't think this guy's going to get his picture there if he don't get some things changed. But way back there, there was another Barak. And he was a little unusual. There was a woman by the name of Deborah who was a prophetess. And the Lord gave her a message and said, Barak, I want you to come down here. And we're going to get an army together, 10,000, and we're going to go out against the Amorites, and we're going to destroy them. And you know what that mighty man of valor said? He said, I'll go, but you got to go with me. Hello? Let me hide behind your apron, and I'll go. What a great man of faith. I'm going to go, but Mama, you got to go first. You know what I think? And this is just thinking. I don't know this. But I think that when he said that, he lost something. I believe that when he said that, he lost his honor. Because Deborah said, I'm going to go with you. And she said, we're going to win the battle. She said, but the honor is not going to go to you. It's going to go to a woman. I really believe that God wanted to honor Barak. But because he would not allow himself, he was fearful, and he confessed his fear, and he put a prophetess in the way of danger. And God said, all right, son, I'm still going to bring a victory. I'm still going to use you, but I'm going to give the glory to somebody else. And so they went to battle. Amen. And Barak went with 10,000 Israelites against 900 chariots of iron. And they went to the battle. The Bible says, I mean, friend, they mopped up the floor with them. They killed every enemy except for the king. And Sisera ran. And he went to this house of a friend. And when he got there, his wife said, come on in and I'll hide you here. So he went in and he said, oh, I'm so thirsty. She gave him some milk to drink and covered him up. And then when he fell asleep, she came in with a tent stake and a hammer and drove it through the temple of his head into the ground. Got to watch them women. he goes to think, sleep thinking he's saved. Don't you ever make a woman mad at you. That's when the Bible says, you can have some trouble in the daytime, but you get it fixed up before night. If you don't think there's some truth to that, you just remember Sisera. I'm glad some of you are laughing. I'm in trouble about the rest. But anyway, maybe we can redeem ourselves here in a minute. What an unlikely hero. An unlikely hero. But his name's here, by the way. He's on the wall. His picture's hanging up there. Amen. Oh, Samson. We've been hearing a lot about Samson lately, haven't we? Always loved Samson. When I was young, I worshipped muscles. I still have them. They've just changed form. And so Samson, the great man, a great man, great man. You talk about a man of potential. He had so much potential. But you know what I've noticed about people of potential? They rarely live up to it. Most people that have so much talent rarely use the talents. Right. I have been so frustrated oftentimes with people that had so much talent but would not use it. Things come so easy for them. They didn't have to struggle. But those that have to struggle for every step they take, amen, those seem to be the ones that make more success than those that have the talents and abilities. Now, the Bible gives us a little story about that, doesn't it? About some folks that God gave talents to. And I know those were weights. I know that that was wealth. I understand that. But I also think it applies to natural gifts and abilities. Amen. And to whom much is given, much is required. So if God has given you some gifts and some talents and abilities, you better put them to work. Don't let them lie on the shelf, because you will answer to God for the things you did not use. Amen. Take what you have and use it for the glory of God and do your very best. And if you're a person that just has one talent, don't you look around you and use that as an excuse for not doing anything. That'll get you in trouble too. Amen. And in fact, that's the one that got in the most trouble of all. So take what God gives you and use it for glory. Samson, he didn't come out just right. And Samson wound up in total disgrace. I don't believe that he had to wind up there. I don't believe that's the story God really designed. I don't think that's how God wanted it to end. I really don't. I don't think God intended for Samson to wind up with his eyes put out and grinding in a mill like some kind of an animal. I don't believe that was ever the will of God. But you see, we determine a whole lot of what God can do with our life by our actions. By our actions. You see, God has one plan. God has great design for you. Young people, listen to me today. God has great designs for you. Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. You can. With bad choices, you can mess up so bad that some of the things God wanted you to do, you'll never get to do. But that doesn't mean that God is through with you. That doesn't mean that God gives up on you. Amen. He does not. I don't believe it was the will of God for Samson to be where he was. But even though he was there, God didn't give up on Samson. And just last Sunday, we heard the beautiful message that Brother Treadwell preached about how God once again let his hair start growing. Amen. His consecration came back. Amen. His covenant with God was renewed. Amen. It was as if he prayed through. Amen. And one last time God used him, and he brought down the house. Amen. And he destroyed more enemy in his death than he did in all of his lifetime. Amen. And because of that, his picture's on that wall. He was washed up as far as people were concerned. They had scratched him off and laughed, and his name had become a laughing stock. And he was just a distant memory. But God said, oh, no, no, I'm not through with you yet, Samson. Hey, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. You stand up on your feet and make up your mind. I haven't done everything right, and I've made some big mistakes, and I've almost sunk my boat, but it's not over, God. I'm still going to give you what I got left. Amen. And God used him. Let me hurry on. His name was Japheth. You talk about somebody that had everything against him. Can I say it again? His mother was a harlot. He was the result of a one-night stand. He grew up in a household of boys that had a real mama. And they never let him forget who his mama was. They reminded him daily that you're not like us. When he got old enough to make it on his own, in fact, they run him out. They said, you just get on out of here. You don't have anything to do with our father's house. We don't want one penny of our inheritance going to you. And so they pushed him out. Japheth, like many folks, he kind of went down to Tob. I don't know where your Tob is, but he went down to Tob. Guess what? He found some friends in Tob. The Bible called them vain fellows. The thugs and the misfits and those that nobody wanted and the offcast of society. Those became his friends. He fell into bad company. But guess what? He became the leader of the Tob mob. Well, that's my name. And he rose to the top, if there's any top to such a crowd. And the Amorites again rose up and got strong, and Israel were trembling in their boots, and they said, we need somebody to go fight for us. And somebody said, boy, I remember old Japheth. He was one tough cookie. And so they said, let's go get Japheth. So here they go. They go down to Japheth in the Tob mob. And they said, We need your skills. What are your skills? Fighting. Same stuff got me in trouble when I was little. You're wanting it now. The same thing that you drove me off for, now you're asking for it. He said, we want you to come be our captain. He said, uh-uh. You drove me away, remember? Go fight your own battles. They said, oh, no, no, we got to have you. He said, if I come, I am going to be the boss. And they said, okay, that's what it takes. Amen. And so this thug from Tob comes and takes control of the army of Israel. And they go out in battle. And God used this misfit. Amen. God used this write-off. But God saw some things in Japheth somebody else didn't see. All he needed was an opportunity. All he needed was a chance. All he needed was somebody that would believe in him. And when he got a little confidence in somebody that believed in him and an opportunity, he used it to the fullest extent. And God used Japheth to bring great victory in Israel. And he became the judge over Israel. Amen. You talk about an unlikely hero. An unlikely hero. You know, on the streets of Athens, Texas right now this morning, there are some people out there that you would never, ever guess in a million years that God has destined them to be in this church on these pews. Some of them in this pulpit. Some of them in this choir. Some of them playing these instruments. But if you look at them today, they're Japheths. And you look at them and the way they appear right now and you think, not in a million years. But God said, oh yeah, I got some Japheths here in this city. I've got some Rahabs in this city. I've got some Gideons in this city. Amen. I've got some Samsons in this city. I just need an opportunity. Amen. And so God has some unlikely heroes. I believe there's unlikely heroes here today. Let's stand together. Amen. When God told Samuel to go anoint a king for Israel, Jesse came with six of his boys and had all of his boys there except for one. He said, "Oh, you would want him in his work." He's good for is herding sheep. And God said, and the Lord said to Samuel, he said, "We won't sit down till the king comes." Amen. All the rest, you've been looked at and you have failed the test. He said, "Go get the shepherd boy. Go get the sweet psalmist of Israel. That's the one I'm looking for. Bring him in here." Huh. God took that little old teenage boy, anointed him, amen, and used him for great things. An unlikely hero. Boy, did David ever mess up. When David rose high, he rose high. But when he failed, he failed greatly. But God didn't give up. God didn't give up. Amen. Unlikely heroes. Amen. There's still a lot of heroic deeds that need to be done, folks. And God's going to use some unlikely people here. Unlikely people. Amen. I wonder if anybody here this morning would step out, come down to this altar and say, "Here am I, Lord. Use me. I know I might not be chosen. I might be the last that you'd even think about. But I want to offer myself anyway. I might not be the best for the job. There might be somebody with some more intelligence, more gifts than I have. But let me just at least enlist. Let me at least get my name on the application. I want to sign up, Jesus. Here I am." So if you want to do something, please consider me. I know that there's Abrahams and there's Isaacs, there's Jacobs and there's Moses, and there's Joshua and there's Abel and there's Enoch. There's Elisha and there's Elijah. There's all those great men. There's all those great women. But Lord, use me. Amen. I'm an unlikely hero. And if anything good comes out of my life, it's going to be because of you. And if I ever do anything great, it's going to be because of you. And I know that. But the thing is, God, when something good happens, you're going to get all the glory. And you're going to get all the praise. Amen. Here it is, folks. This is your opportunity to really give it to Jesus today. If you've been looking for a place and for a time that you could start over, this is it. If you've been looking for an opportunity to give it all, this is it. If you've been looking for a place to reconsecrate and start over, close the pages of the past and open the book of the future, pick up a new pen, begin to write on fresh pages, this is the opportunity. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use me.
Here I am, Jesus. Here I am, Jesus.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Oh, yes, Lord. I'm coming here to give it all, Jesus.
If you can use anything,
I think if everybody ought to be in this altar this morning. I can't believe that there would be one person that wouldn't want God to have your best. Amen. I can't believe that there would be one person today that wouldn't want to give it all to Jesus today. Say, here am I, Lord. Use me.
Lord, you can use me.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
You can use anything.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is, God. Here it is. Amen. 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 Amen.
Lord, you can use me.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Speak, Holy Ghost. Speak, Holy Ghost. Talk to us. Talk to us. Challenge us.
Motivate
us, move us. Amen. Hallelujah. Transform us.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Just take my hand.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use
me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use
me.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
All of the bitter failures.
Just
of the
take
past.
My hand.
Forgive me.
Touch
the times
my
that I have fallen so short. Forgive me.
If you can use
the times
anything,
that I've not only missed the mark,
Lord,
I even missed the target.
Me.
Forgive me.
If
hallelujah.
You can use anything,
the days
Lord,
and the times and the opportunities
me.
That I've squandered. Forgive me.
If you can use anything,
amen. But I'm here today,
Lord, you
Jesus, because you have called me
take
and you've given
my
me
hand,
this opportunity.
Me,
you have presented
my heart,
me with this challenge. I rise up today and I accept.
Anything, Lord,
amen.
You can use
I lift my voice with the voice of Isaiah.
Take
amen.
My
and I say, Lord, take the cold. From heaven's altar, touch my lips, purify
if you
me,
can use anything,
make me clean
Lord,
today, God, and then let me rise up and speak as Isaiah spoke and say, here am I, Lord, send me, here am I, Lord, use me,
you can use anything, Lord, you can
hallelujah, use my life,
me.
Lord, use my talents. Use my abilities, God.
Touch my heart.
Oh, let the anointing of the Holy Ghost come upon
Lord,
me.
Use me.
And let me be of use.
If you can use
let me,
oh
God,
Lord,
be as an instrument and a tool in the Master's hand. To create, oh God,
Lord,
the work that you're trying to accomplish. Hallelujah. Use me, Jesus.
Touch my heart.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
If you
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oh, take my hand. I